You're listening to The People's Pitch, the official podcast of Minneapolis City Soccer Club, brought to you by footballstadiumprince.com. Let's start the show.
And as I talked about just a couple minutes ago, as Joe Watt stands over this one, he appears to be the one taking the penalty here. This is a huge confidence booster if you're a Duluth.
Worst case scenario for City right here.
And it's stopped!
Yes!
And it's stopped!
Totally redeems himself.
Matt Elder redeeming himself. Oliver with the right foot. The shot is
goal! Oliver!
Justin Oliver will break the scoreless tie. Then it is 1-0 Minneapolis City. It's Hutton now on the offense with the left foot.
And another goal!
And it is now 2-0 Minneapolis City.
Oh, yes! Good finish.
Nick Hutton taking his quick victory lap.
This is the People's Pitch Podcast, the official podcast of your Minneapolis City Soccer Club. I am your host, John, and this week you get a healthy dose of me as Nate is away getting his colonoscopy. So I am solo today, and I promise to give you 110% because I am a man of the people. But I will have a special guest in a little bit here, but I'm doing the show mostly myself today. We had quite an interesting week last week as both squads hit the road, so I will cover what went on down in Worthington and Rochester and bring it home with two games I personally circled on my calendar months ago when the schedules came out. And by that, I'm speaking of the USL2 playing the Bavarian United and UPSL locking horns with St. Croix Legends 2. But before I dive in, special guest with me today. Can you tell us what your name is?
My name is Gus Bizworm, and I am podcasting with my dad today because I don't really know. I just wanted to.
Because Nate's gone, right?
Well, kind of because Nate's gone.
Yeah, so Gus, how old are you?
I am 6 years old.
Okay, and then what's coming up in like a week or so?
In a week, Minneapolis is...
No, what's coming up for you in a couple weeks?
In a couple weeks, I'm turning 7.
Oh, well, that's going to be exciting. So, Gus, are you a fan of soccer?
Yeah.
So, do you play soccer?
Yes.
And who do you play soccer for?
I play soccer for Minnetonka and Minnetonka Schools.
Yep. Is Minnetonka United?
Yeah, Minnetonka United.
Okay. Do you like playing soccer?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about it?
My favorite part about it is how each time you get older, the harder and harder it gets. And as soon as you're like really, really good at it, then you can just be free.
Be free. Very, very good. So, Gus, do you watch a lot of soccer at home?
Yeah, but I'm mostly on the weekend mornings. My dad would just watch it. So I just kind of snuggle up with him and we just watch with him.
Yes, dude, just two dudes watching soccer.
Yeah.
Do you play soccer in the backyard?
Yeah, I play a lot. My brother doesn't kind of let me. And I'm like, Freddie, get over here, let's play. And then he just walked into the house crying.
Oh, man. Classic Freddie. Well, tell me, Gus, this is a podcast about Minneapolis City. Do you like Minneapolis City?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I like about it how even though the players are very, very new, they do well, and they're just trying their best.
Yeah, and what do you like about going to the games?
I like about going to the games a lot is that the people over by the drums.
The citizens?
Yeah, the citizens, they let little kids play the drums, but they don't let us use the bullhorn because we're just young and they're just scared that we're not gonna get the song too right.
Or you're gonna say something you're not supposed to say.
Yeah, like a swear or something.
What? No swearing. What the heck? This is a family show, Gus.
Oh.
I'm sure the people wanna know, do you have a favorite player on the team?
Yes, I do. My favorite player is, let me remember. Karsten Pena.
Why do you like him?
I like him because he likes to go for crazy hairstyles, and I just like his hairstyles a lot.
And he's good at soccer too, right?
Yeah. And I like how he comes close, and when the other team got the ball, he literally just punts it out.
And takes it away from, right?
He takes it away, and he's really good at defense. Yeah.
So, Gus, my last question for you. This Friday, two teams are playing, Minneapolis City and the Milwaukee Bavarians. Who wins?
Minneapolis, but I'm a little confident. I'm a little sure that I'm scared about the other team of winning, because since Minneapolis is new, they're still getting used to it.
Yeah. What else about the other team?
And I think the other team is going to do well, but my dad used to play on the team we're going against.
Yep.
So that's why I'm kind of nervous, because his teammates did really good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Gus, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look for you in the stands banging on those drums this Friday night.
Okay. See you all at the game.
After pulling up the map and getting a healthy dose of a geography lesson, Worthington, Minnesota is located about an hour west of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Who knew? So the Young Crows hopped on the murder bus to take on the newly formed Worthington squad that was coming off the heels of an impressive 2-1 victory over the St. Paul Blackhawks, a very strong side also making their debut this year. Intel from boots on the ground was that the environment organization of the new squad to the league was top-notch in Worthington. The facility was relatively brand new. The support staff was on par with what we see with the top pre-pro organizations across the country. And they had around 600 fans and a food truck. Everyone loves a food truck. First off, well done, Worthington, and thank you. We have seen the leveling up from the UPSL this season on the field, but it was great to see how they put on and put the work in to create an environment and show themselves as a quality host. My question will be, moving out of year one, and is that sustainable into year two and beyond? Definitely something to keep an eye on. As far as the roster goes for the game, the Crows brought a similar team sheet with Antonio Olivares, Bodine Gosted, Carter Hermanson, Cole Bridson, Griffin Price, Johnny Bear, Joseph Swellen, who was the captain on the day, Logan Ellers, Micah Miller, Michael Doshin, Miles Akibi, Noah Hermanson, Parker Flynn, Rigo Arellano, Tomas Mena, Tyler Beaupre, and Sergio Hernandez Cano. As far as the starters go, it was Gosted, Akibi, Rigo, Tyler in the middle, Noah Hermanson in the back, a midfield of Doshin, Micah Miller, Johnny Bear, Swollen, Carter Hermanson, and up top was Tomas Mena, with the subs being Olivares, Bridson, Price, Ellers, Flynn, and Hernandez. This one had everything, folks, but from the first half perspective, the home side came out with a very high line of pressure, obviously, in my opinion, thinking that it was a good plan of attack and they tried to pin the Young Crows back line under pressure. But the strength of this Crows team that we've talked about for the past few weeks and pretty much all season was their central midfield. And on that day, it was again up for the task, as they did a great job of finding pockets of space for the back line to relieve the pressure and break down the host Worthington. About 10 minutes in, a nicely weighted through ball on the ground saw Worthington with a very, very good first chance, but the shot was pushed just wide in what could have been a very, very good opportunity for them to put their stamp on this game early. The early bright spot for me, in particular in the first half, was the play from the new man to the squad, St. Thomas defender Miles Akibi on the right side. I was really impressed by his individual skill on the ball. He helped get out of consistent pressure by Worthington with being very good in tight spaces. And he had a really good willingness to go forward and draw some fouls from the 1v1 game. And the Crows really did need that attacking support coming from the back line. Right around the 16th minute, the Crows looked to get on the board, but their goal off of a corner was disallowed. I'm not sure what happened. I heard shouts of obstruction somewhere, but it was a corner kick. Everyone obstructs. So I have no idea what was going on there. But this is where, after that 16th minute disallowed goal, things started to get a little choppy, with the home side fully willing to go extra hard into challenges and go to ground on tackles, which required the referee to get involved on quite a few instances before the things bubbled over. But the bubbling was just getting started, and I'll have more on that in a second. The Crows nearly got on the board again in the 20th minute, then again in the 30th minute, with a great opportunity for Michael Doshin to find the back of the net, but nothing came of his efforts. And back to that bubbling over. In the 32nd minute, Worthington picked up the first of many trips to the referee's book on a nasty challenge on Crows in the Crows' defensive third. Then in the 35th minute, a horror tackle on Micah Miller from the home side's goalkeeper led to the game's first red card. Again, first red card. Tomas Mena actually did finish the ball in the back of the goal, but it was disallowed as advantage was taken away by the referee. Another yellow in the 39th minute for Worthington, followed by the game's second red card from what looked like a different player arguing with a ref, not the one that caused the foul with the first yellow card. So straight red for the second red card. And then literally, folks, the wheels totally fell off with the home side now playing 9-11 the rest of the way. In the 45th minute, another yellow card. And at this point, I don't think there was really anyone on the field who didn't have a yellow card for the home side. But we'll get to that again in a minute. In the 46th minute, Micah Miller followed up a rebound. And the score now is 1-0 with less red shirts and a whole lot of Crows white shirts on the pitch. It was really that point where only one goal was needed to happen to erase any doubt of what really would be the ultimate outcome, and taking everything they could possibly away from the home side and really put this to bed before the second frame of action. Speaking of the second half, there was so much that happened in the first half. It was a wonder if the second half would live up to the billing, if Worthington could even see the game out with so many players already on the yellow card. The Crows had so much of the ball. It was very video game-like. There was a lot of opportunity to do really whatever they wanted with it. And it was only really a matter of time until the next goal happened. Took a little while, and in the 60th minute, on three consecutive opportunities, three great chances created by the home side, Worthington. But Rigo Arellano was equal to the task and thwarted all three chances by himself. So you have to feel a little disappointed in the Young Crows if there's any disappointment out of this game, being that they allowed those opportunities to happen, being up two men. I think some people kind of took their feet off the pedal a little bit, and the home team, Worthington, was up to the task. They still were putting in the work, even though they were two men down. In the 77th minute, became 2-0 off of a Johnny Bear corner kick that found the head of the team's top goal scorer, Carter Hermanson. And this game was OVER, or was it? Hermanson was then taken down in the area in the 87th minute, with Parker Flynn coming in on the penalty kick to clean up shop. And after that, right after the conversion, the third and final red card was handed out on a double yellow given for what looked like dissent, I don't really know what happened. I think someone summed to the ref and he had enough of it. And he knew how this game was going. There were some minor dust ups, and a clear throttling down by the away side to finish up 3-0 on the day, moving Minneapolis City in a tie for first place. We'll call it second place due to goal differential. So next up for the Young Crows is a matchup of 1-2 or 1A versus 1B, however you want to slice it, as they host table-topping St. Croix in what could be the decider of the regular season championship Sunday. That's June 4th at 7 p.m. at Edouard Nelson Field. You all need to get down and get out and watch these young futures players play. They are fun to watch, and they are really well-trained inside by Coach Jeremiah Johnson and staff. St. Croix currently sits equal on record, like I mentioned, with the Crows at 5-1-0, but leads on goal differential by a +9. So these guys can score goals. Yet Minneapolis City is the stingiest team in the division thus far. So it's a good goal scorer versus goal stopper matchup. And also another heavy plot line we saw when St. Croix Legends first team played Minneapolis City. A lot of former futures and first team players from Minneapolis City are playing on that UPSL team. So the game will for sure have a classic written all over it. It will be a storyline to see exactly how many USL2 players the Legends potentially put in the team sheet. So we'll keep an eye on that. But overall, great week for the futures as they look into, ironically, just yesterday we felt the season started. The season's almost over, the regular season. I believe there's only 3 or 4 more games left for the young side. So please do them a favor and get on out and support them as they look to make a run into making a playoff spot. So after all the action that was happening in Worthington and definitely all the interesting action, the senior side had their opportunity to cook some things up as they headed down to Rochester, to take on the newly formed Rochester Loons. And thankfully, it was a different Loon side and one that looked more on par with what we would expect, featuring no household names or designated players. As far as the lineup's concerned, it was a relatively unchanged side with Hakeem Morgan, Eli Goldman, and Shea Bechtel leading the front line, Lopez and Contreras in the middle. One newcomer, a name that we're all familiar with, but new into the squad for this season, Jameson Charles making his return. And then the back line of Carson Pena, Garcia, and Kirchie unchanged, with Wes Lawrence making his place back into the squad after James Gardev had his rough day against RKC. And then in goal, another debut on the season is everyone's favorite Swiss Army Knife goalkeeper, Kalen Mata-Castillo. As far as how this one went, in the first half, the Loons, not those Loons, these Loons, came out into the match off of an impressive 2-1 victory over our foe this coming week, the Milwaukee Bavarians, in their league debut. And the Crows were looking to really right the ship after dropping points in their first two matches. The half started off really with the Crows looking to kind of establish their foot early, and it came on the back of a bevy of direct balls into channels, likely looking to capitalize on the abilities of their danger men in Eli Goldman and Shea Bechtel, with Hakeem Morgan dropping deeper and kind of drawing out one of those center backs, which was a total duplication of how Goldman scored two of his three goals in their last match. And in fact, it only took 10 minutes for this to become fruitful, as Eric Contreras found a nice pocket of space to turn and slot in Eli Goldman. And he did what he's done the best over the past three games, and that was use his pace and some trickery to outfox both the Loons defender and the goalkeeper for the game's first goal. So another game where Minneapolis City scored first, which hasn't been something that we've had in the past. It's usually been us trying to dig out of giving up that first goal, but the team getting the early lead. The home side, who looked somewhat shocked, I think, at that point to concede so early, went back to a familiar well, we'll call it, that most opponents have been trying to go to, and that's hitting the long ball on the counter. But this week, the Crows back for, I mean, they must have drilled it in hard this week and last week in practice, and basically staying more compact and having a tighter line together, as they were less stretched and able to recover far better than they were in the previous two games. In the 22nd minute, goalkeeper Kalen Mata-Castillo came off of his line to make a save around a 6-yard box, but unfortunately the rebound bounced the wrong way, found an open Loon who slotted a volley effort first time past a number of Crows either that were headed to the end line or rooted on the end line, and now we're back at the level match. There was some shouts that on the ball that came in that there was a potential that Wes Lawrence was fouled. It kind of looked like he was pulled down, otherwise he would have had a clean clearance, but hey, that's how it goes. The rest of the half was pretty much mostly the Loons controlling possession, with City either defending or going direct to their front three. And I felt that the central midfield was far too often bypassed. And then that penetrating pass in the middle that could maybe have unlocked situations of 2-1 or 3-2, they weren't really attempted, and it felt substitute to the default of the long ball. And at that point, really, I mean, there wasn't much to come out of it. Some half chances for each team, and then the first half ends level at 1-1. Going into the second half, not much more to report on the second half other than what kind of we saw to end the first half. There were a few half chances for both teams. And in my opinion, this game had draw written all over it, as the Loons looked really less creative in trying to find alternative routes to break down the Crows. And the Crows looked to be more concerned to shore up the defense to keep the much needed road point versus trying to get their midfield more involved. And I think Carl, if you go back to the match recap that was written by staff writer Kyle Elias, and I think Carl put it well, and he stated, quote, "We seem to want to do the hard way all the time. There's options there. There's options to play the ball, and we want to play worldies all the time. That's exactly what I saw on the day." I completely agree with Coach Craig that it looked like we were bypassing sometimes the simple in order to go with something a little more Hollywood, and it just wasn't connecting after that first goal by Eli Goldman. But in the end, it was a road point, and we had that much needed point on the road, and we got to snag those as often as possible. I mean, we've seen three teams now in this league. I think the difference being that RKC is clearly a table topper, but out of St. Croix and out of Rochester, We've seen two teams that are definitely beatable that maybe we left something on the table, but it's early in the season and those are things that you can come back from. So next up for the Crows is the game that tears my heart in two as my old club, the Milwaukee Bavarians, or now known as Bavarian United, after a merger with another local club, come across the border to face us for the first time since we lost 2-0 at home against them in the 2016 inaugural PLA campaign, way back when we were baby Crows. Both clubs have kind of taken a winding path in their own right since we last matched up. The Crows moved from the PLA to the MPSL, where they won three league titles before moving into the USL2 last year, and then this year ultimately cutting off the MPSL. And the Bavarians have since then won three national amateur titles and one UPSL national title. So they're continuing, they continued cluttering the top of their crest with championship stars since we last saw them. But as for the new look for both clubs, the Crows currently sit in sixth place with two losses and one draw, and the Bavarians are just below them with three losses in the young season. These are clearly spots in the table that both of these clubs are not used to occupying. So it'll be a great match of two teams that are looking to get their first 3 points out of a tilt. And this is part, and this is the part where I mentioned that I wish that the Bavarians nothing but the best outside of when we play them, and hope on Friday they get royally embarrassed and pick up 0 points coming out of their trip to the Nelly. Like I said, the match is this Friday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. at Edor Nelson Field. Tickets for this affair can be found over at mplscitysc.com, and we hope to see you all there. Well, without Nate and me losing Gus here to go play video games, that's it for this week's show, folks. Thanks again to our wonderful show sponsor, footballstadiumprints.com. The lower league season is here, and Football Stadium Prints has top gear for lower league teams from Minneapolis to Motherwell, with everything from mugs to t-shirts to sweet prints of lower league icons like me, John Bizworm, Matt Elder, or Edor Nelson Field. Don't forget to use the code CROWS10 for 10% off on everything you purchase. And remember, all U.S. orders ship right from the States, so no pesky international shipping charges. Yes! Yes, you can! You can still get 2023 memberships. $89 gets you a ticket to every Minnesota Super Cup, UPSL, and USL2 home game, as well as a voice that helps to shape the club for next year. There are only a few in-town memberships left, so don't wait too long. As a reminder, Minneapolis City is a 501c3, so consider a charitable gift to the club that loves to give back. Are you interested in getting a hold of us? Not many people are. Let's change that. We've made it super simple. Hit up the club on Twitter at MPLSCitySC, or us at the show at The People's Pitch, or via email mcscpodcast@gmail.com. I have been John, that was Gus, and we all wish Nate the best in recovering from his vasectomy. It's another pivotal week in the USL2 and the UPSL. We will be front and center at both, but will you? Until next time, you got hoofed.